Today is the Reign of Christ Sunday, or Christ the King Sunday. It's the last Sunday of the year, according to the lectionary. Next Sunday, we begin to prepare for the coming of Christ. It always seems a little strange. I understand the end of the year and the beginning of a new, but it always seems a little strange that this week we are celebrating the reign of Christ when next week we have to pretend like he's on his way. So it's a little difficult, I understand. We have two important scriptures today. The Matthew passage is an incredibly hard one to deal with, especially on a day-to-day basis. The only account in Matthew of the judgment day, the day we come face to face with Christ and what's going to be expected of us. The only question Jesus prepares us for is, did you feed me when I was hungry? Did you give me drink when I was thirsty? Did you give me clothes when I was naked? You know the rest. I admit this is difficult for me. It's not unusual for Kevin and I, either one, to be sitting at our desk and someone to walk into the office and say, can I talk to a minister? And whichever one of us is the most available at that time gets up and walks out and talks to whoever has asked for us. We listen, we offer what help we can, we pray with them if they're willing, and then they always ask, can you help me with some money? Sometimes it's for gas or for a bus or for food. We always give them a flyer of all the programs around the community where they can get assistance. And then if we have them, I give them a Randall's gift card where they can go across the street and get food. Occasionally, if we don't have a gift card, we'll give them a few dollars if we have that. And then I always write down their name in a little book. And I always say, this is a one-time thing. Sometimes they head on their way and we don't see them again. Others show back up the next week and say, can I have another one of those gift cards? And Kevin and I do the same thing. It's hard. But we say, we can only give you one. And we stick to our guns. We're to give food to the hungry, water to the thirsty, house to the homeless, clothing for the naked, welcoming strangers, visiting those in prison. What does that mean, and am I doing that? How often do we do that? Do we continue even when we know that they're going from church to church seeking money? Do we do that when we smell alcohol or cigarettes on them? Am I helping their addiction? I get together with several preachers, and sometimes we even compare notes and see the ones that hit us each on a regular basis. And it hurts. And I don't always know what to do. We had a couple visit a few weeks ago. They came in early, and they sat in the library all the way through Sunday school, all the way through church. They didn't come into worship, so they weren't looking for a church. They sat in the library. And then when church was over, someone brought them to me, and I sat down here on the front pew, and I heard their story, and they talked to me. I prayed with them, and then they asked me for help. And I told them that we'd honestly had run out of gift cards for this year, and we were waiting for a new year to buy some more, and we listened to them, and I told them we were having a luncheon, and I said, come in and eat lunch with us. We would love that. Eat all you want. There's plenty of food. And so they came in, and they got plates, and they went back in the library, and they ate. When they were done, they came, and they told me goodbye. one of my heroes at this church asked, could she give them some money? I said, of course you can, but I really don't know their story as far as long-term. But you're welcome to. And she said, I don't care what they use the money for. I just want to help. I love that, and it stuck with me. That's a great attitude to have. It doesn't matter. They ask, she gave. I don't think we can just keep handing out money to people who show up day after day. But our willingness to give people the benefit of the doubt, when they're down and out, we're doing what Jesus asked us to do. Try to treat individuals as if they were Christ. As if Jesus were in your very presence, needing a drink, needing food, needing clothing, or a hand, or a smile. I watched a video this week. I wanted to show it to you, and then after I watched it several times, I thought, this is really too hard to show in worship. But it was a video of two men. The first man was dressed very nicely, and he had a baby in his arms. He drove up in a very nice car. A very nice car. And he was standing on the street corner in front of a Trader Joe's. And he asked people as they came along, excuse me, could you give me a couple of dollars? I got here without my wallet and I need to buy food for my baby. And people just gave him money. They would walk on their way, and the next person, he would ask the same thing, and they would give him money. There was never a question. They just gave him money. People said, oh, sorry, dude, good luck, you know, hope you find your wallet. Very nice things. Then another man comes up. He doesn't have a car. He's on foot. To be honest, I didn't think he looked that bad, but he didn't look fancy. He had a big coat on. He had a big hat on. He had a grocery cart. He had a baby. And he asked every person that walked by, do you have a couple of dollars so I can go into the store and buy baby food? No one that passed him gave him money. People said horrible things to him. Brother, get your life together. Get a job. One man spat on his feet, holding a baby in his arms. And after doing this over and over and over, a man who is very obviously homeless walks over to him and gives him $2. And he stops and he said, man, what are you doing? He said, you have a baby who's hungry. I want you to feed her. He stopped and he said, I need to tell you something, man. This is an experiment we're doing. This is an experiment. I'm just out here. There's a camera over there and I'm just trying to see. He said, I don't care. You have a baby who's hungry, and I want her to be fed. The man kind of stopped everything, and he pulled out his wallet, and he gave him everything he had. What a sadness that we allow, and I say we, because I admit that I fall into the same category and the same trap. But we allow appearances to change our acceptance of people. The Ephesians passage today is a passage that some churches use in what I call prosperity ministry or prosperity churches. You know what I mean? It's the church where every day is Christ the King Sunday. We don't have to think about sacrifice and the cross and crucifixion and resurrection. We just have to think, if we come to church and if we love Jesus, then we're going to get all that we want, all that we need. And if we don't have everything we want, it's because we're doing something wrong. But if you keep on reading the scripture and read the whole passage, Paul is speaking to the church. He is praying for the church. And the inheritance that Paul speaks of is more than individual riches, more than heavenly riches that await us. It's the gift of being joined to Christ's body. He says that Christ was made head of the church. Of the church. All of this is about becoming an authentic community of faith, an authentic community where we can journey alongside one another in the way of Jesus. That's what it's all about. It's not about picking a church to go to that's popular. It's not about finding a group of friends. It's not even about finding people you agree with it. And it's certainly not about going somewhere that's convenient. It's about finding an authentic community to join alongside. Finding a place where every person is welcome. Where every person can become a part of the body of Christ. If you're lucky, when you find that place, all those other things are going to fall into place. But only if you put your whole authentic self into it. I didn't mean to go off on that tangent. So it's no extra charge. But what I do love about this passage that talks about the church is that it is also Paul's prayer for the church. Paul is living in a time where there's a lot of division among churches at the time. It seems as though the division is insurmountable. But Paul proclaims that that Christ reigns, breaks down walls, and makes everything possible. Paul was searching for the very first "all are welcomed here" church. That kind of church that we strive to be. A church where no one will tell you, you can't come in. The kind of church the homeless man in the video would be welcomed in because he was willing to give himself wholly. I love that this is a prayer. How often do we get to see a prayer prayed for us as a church? I thought I would end my sermon today doing just that, sharing my prayer for this church. I'll even give you at the end a moment to do a few sentences of your own if you want. But I get to go first. And I want to say it to you with your eyes open and your ears open. God, I thank you for this church. Every time I think of them, I think about the ways that you have loved me through my hard times. How you've supported me through the loss of my father and my sister and my mother and other family members. I think about how you sat with me at the hospital at different times. How I felt your prayers during my mother's illness. God, I thank you for the way I've watched this church through difficult times in the church, when there were differences and it seemed as though the church was going to fracture. But instead, they did the work that needed to be done to learn to love through differences. That they learned to trust one another and to openly discuss differences so we could understand each other's feelings. God, I thank you for the way I've seen you work through this church, giving unselfishly to help feed the hungry, to house the homeless, to care for this earth that you've given us. How I've seen them teach and love your children and your youth as they grow in your love, and to teach them to have a mission heart. I thank you for seeing people in this church stand with those who believe differently and open their arms to anyone who walks through the doors. God, I pray that this church can continue to clearly hear your calling, that we can know with certainty the path that you would have us to follow. I pray that you show us ways to seek justice for those who can't stand for themselves. I pray that you show us how to dig deeper into your word and to develop our relationship more with you and with each other. And God, I pray that you continue to show us ways to minister to each other through helping those grieving and those facing hard battles with illness and those caring for family members. God, I pray that you will lead us to know how to reach those in this community who need to be connected to the body of Christ. May we truly be your hands, your feet, your eyes, your ears, your mouth in this world. I pray that we will continue on the next 65 years to be the church God called us to be 65 years ago. Amen and amen.